to newcomers, and also tell you it's good to be back. Carol and I had a couple of weeks over Thanksgiving as we spent some time with our family in the United States. It was a wonderful, very busy time, but it's great to be back home here in Hong Kong. That's how we really feel when we think about where we live and where we are, our little flat up there on up on the hill, right at the foot of Lion Rock, is our home. And we're glad we have the privilege of sharing this wonderful life that you enjoy as well as we live here in Hong Kong. So we're going to start a special time of the year. I enjoy Advent as a part of the church calendar. It's an exciting time for us to be anticipating the coming of the Lord. And we're starting right off with the idea of hope today. And we want to look at that word and see what that means. So we think about Advent then. It's the preparation that we're doing for the coming of Jesus. We recognize that Jesus was born many centuries ago, but we celebrate every year at Christmas time the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a joy to share that story with you as we progress toward Christmas Day in the next four services, as we look toward what it means to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage you as a congregation this morning as well, because I was greeted following the service, the earlier service, by folks who were visiting us from other parts of the world. Somebody came up to me and said, hey, I see you're from the Midwest. I'm from the state of Michigan. You know, I said, well, sorry for you. You lost the football game to Ohio, which is a very important football game. And he said, well, hey, 15 years of history, what are you going to do with that? You know, it's kind of been the story. I always root for Michigan, but so far it really hasn't paid off. And a couple of other ladies came up and said, we're from Germany, you know, and we're so excited when we discovered there was a church service here, and it was in English, and we had a chance to be a part of worship this morning. So God has placed ECC here as a ministry for us as a congregation, but the wayfarer, the person who travels through, what an excellent place God has called us to as we serve others as they come and be a part of our congregation from time to time. So for those of you who are visiting us today, we welcome you and we're glad that you're a part of our congregation. And we hope that you'll find, if you live here in Hong Kong, you'll find this to be a church home that you'd enjoy being a part of. So Advent, looking at the word hope. Hope is a wonderful word. I love it. It just has so much strength in it, you know. Last night we had the privilege of going to Elder Fong's home and had a wonderful traditional meal. And following the meal, they dug out the old wedding photos. And I don't know, Gina kind of I don't know if she was sure where they were. I mean, it had been a while apparently, but it was just fun to see Fong and Gina when they were a few years younger. I don't know how many, but just a few years. And they really haven't changed all that much. But man, could I ever detect a twinkle in Fong's eye as he was a part of this experience? And Gina, not so much, but Fong, a twinkle in his eye, just excited about the fulfillment of this hope that he had for so long. And then Carol dug out a picture of us when we were married. That was almost 16 years ago. I didn't dare say that without confirming almost 16 years ago. And I can remember when that picture that we saw was taken. Carol and I were walking on our way to the reception And as we were walking along, the photographer just caught us in mid-stride. Huh? And it was at that moment I remember saying, it's done. I married her. Yes, I have Carol as my wife. It was just something I had anticipated and hoped for. And yet that hope was fulfilled in that moment in my memory. It was a wonderful thing. And I remember the feeling until today every time I see that picture. What a joy it is to have hope. And God has given us this wonderful privilege of having hope. But it's not a false hope. It's not a hope that is based on some fantasy. It is based on historic fact. It is based on the promises of the prophets. It is based on the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate as we think about hope. So today, I want you to remember with me what I spoke on last year. And it just seems like it was just a little while ago. And I'm sure you remember my outline, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you do. Anyway, we talked about the impossible that surrenders to hope. Huh? That which seemed to be impossible surrenders to hope. And then hope becomes the seed of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the seed of faith. And then faith embraces the promises of God. And that's where we're at today. As we look at hope, as we begin this journey toward Advent, recognizing that as we move toward the birth of Jesus, we're moving toward the event that we celebrate that is one of the most important events in the historic reality of the Christian faith. And so I want us to look at Isaiah's story. Just a few short verses from Isaiah chapter 40. And I've invited Carol, if she would please come and read for us this very short text this morning.
Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And this is the word of the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord, and shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Father, we are thankful for your word, and I pray that as we together think on this text that was written many centuries ago, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And if there's anyone today who has lost hope, Father, renew that hope within them. If there are those who have not discovered the hope that we know in Jesus Christ, minister to them as well today, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So we're looking at hope. And as we begin today, I want us to recognize that Isaiah, when he wrote our text, was probably living in a situation that was very similar to what some of us may be experiencing today. Some of us may be feeling just like Isaiah. Isaiah was living in a time when there was unmeasurable prosperity. Both the North and the South Kingdom were living in an era of great prosperity. But in the midst of that, tragedy hit. King Uzziah, who had been ruling over Israel for over 50 years, died. And according to his text, Isaiah said, at the time of the king's death, the Lord spoke to me and I wrote down the words that we have as the text for the book of Isaiah. Now, this was a time of great concern because there was a dark cloud hovering over Israel. Assyria was a growing power. The year was 740 BC. And that threat concerned the people of Israel. So, obviously, they were looking for help. Some people said, Egypt is the one who can provide us with the alliance, with the support, with the strength we need. Others said, no, we need to look to Syria. Syria can help us. We need to develop an alliance with them, and they can defend us against Syria, against the Assyrian invasion. Isaiah stood in the midst of this and said, don't look either to that side or to this side, but trust in the Lord. For the Lord is able to fulfill His promise for the people of Israel. We know the decision as we look at history. We find that, first of all, Israel was swept away by the Assyrians. Then the Babylonians came in and conquered the Assyrians. And then the Persians came in. And for centuries, Israel was overrun by foreign powers, a people subjected to others. In the midst of that reality, Isaiah declared his truth. Isaiah said, there is one in whom we should have hope. There is one who can fulfill the promise that is ours as the people of God. But unfortunately, they turned to other gods. So as we look at this message this morning, we recognize that it was written in a context of great conflict, of great struggle. And I want us to see 3 points. And I emphasize that because somebody came up to me after service this morning and said, Pastor Mark, you said you were going to have 4 points and you only had 3. So I'm clarifying that right now. And jet lag is a part of my reality this morning because I left from Florida, and that is exactly 12 hours opposite to our time. So if I make a mistake or two, you help me out, okay? So here we go. We're looking at 3 very important factors as we talk about hope this morning. First of all, I want us to notice that the text promises to the people of Israel, there is hope for the end of warfare. Now, automatically, we would think that is probably a promise regarding physical warfare. But in reality, Isaiah is speaking of something else. Look at the text. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity, look at that, her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So you see, what Isaiah was really talking about when he talked about warfare was a solution to the conflict that we so often experience when we resist the love and care and hope that we can have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Comfort, then, was offered in the place of, or was offered to replace, conflict. The people of Israel, their effort to serve the law, their allowance of other gods to invade their religious life, their inclination toward materialism. It all sounds a lot like the kind of life we're living in, the kind of world we're living in today. We're faced with all kinds of conflict. But in the midst of that, Isaiah says, comfort my people, says God. Now, that does not mean provide them with a mansion, with nice furniture, and allow them to be comfortable. What it means is speak to them gently. Speak to them in truth. Speak to them of the reality of what it means to have a relationship where you are at peace with God. A relationship that takes away the struggle and the conflict of that spiritual warfare that goes on within us until we discover what it is to know the Lord Jesus. This is what Isaiah was promising. There is comfort. There is comfort coming in the Redeemer, in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who is coming to bring us peace and to bring us joy and to give us hope. Comfort my people, Isaiah said, because their warfare, their conflict is ceased. And I don't know what your situation is this morning, but if you're struggling in your life and you're trying to discover some way to resolve that flood of issues that seems so unordered in your life, God's promise is when we discover a hope in Jesus Christ, when we discover the order that Christ can bring to our lives, when we discover that there is comfort, there is a sense of compassion, there is a sense of identity with a God who is present even though others may fail us. We can live in the midst of all kinds of struggle and strife and difficulty because there is a peace, there is a hope, there is a genuine relationship with a God who makes a difference. That's what Isaiah was talking about. He was saying, comfort my people because there is pardon. I don't know if you heard or not, but one of our famous people, O.J. Simpson, was pardoned. I don't know if you agree whether he should have been pardoned or not. I'm not even sure what I believe, you know. I think he was guilty of the murder that he was never proven to be guilty of. But the fact is, he served many years in prison for other issues. But finally, after a long process, he was pardoned. And I watched his face on the newscast as the announcement was made. And the transformation in this prisoner was incredible. He knew pardon. We'll see what he does with that pardon after he goes out to be free. But what I want us to recognize is this. When we are captive, when we are in bondage, when we are enslaved to sin, we are guilty and we know it. But Jesus, the one that we celebrate through this Advent season, came so that we could be pardoned. So that no matter what our sin, no matter what our past, no matter what my faults have been, there is pardon, there is reconciliation, there is hope, because Jesus Christ has made us available to us a new promise and a new way of living life. You see, there's hope. And Isaiah said that hope is based on the resolution of conflict and the comfort that we find in the promise that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is promise then in the coming of the Lord. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, humbly in a stable, yet the Savior, promised by Isaiah and recognized and realized in that birth that we celebrate at Christmas time. There is hope. Hope for the coming of the Lord. One of the fun things Carol and I had a chance of being involved in while we were home was to surprise our home group. They had planned to have a celebration on a weekend up at Solvang in California. Carol and I heard about it. We got in touch with Kendra. And we said, now, Kendra, we don't want anybody to know we're coming, but let's set this up, and Carol and I would like to be a part of that weekend. So we planned. We prepared. And you know, we were hoping that it would work out, and sure enough, it did. We got up there just a few hours before the rest of our small group was supposed to arrive. And by the way, next week, I want to invite you to consider being a part of a small group if you're not. We'll talk about that next week. But it's so important because these people, 10 or 12 folks, have been a part of our lives for 4 or 5 years now. And even though we're separated by great distance, when we have a chance to get together, Carol and I wanted to be a part of that. So we snuck in. And we're out in the kitchen, and we're just like a bunch of kids, you know. Kendra, she's giggling, you know, this is going to be so much fun. And Carol and I were grinning, you know, because we're gonna see our friends, you know. And we're like a bunch of kids, you know. So we're hiding out in the kitchen. Everybody arrives, and Kendra had arranged a signal, and she said, okay, when I give the signal, I want you to come in. So she had everybody close their eyes. Everybody was looking toward the kitchen. Carol and I come out. We stand there, and she says, okay, you can open your eyes. And it was amazing, the reaction of folks. Now, I admit it. Some people looked like they thought they were seeing ghosts. Yeah. I mean, others just couldn't even look. I mean, they just turned their back and they walked away, you know. And it was just so unbelievable that we were actually there, you know. And others just jumped up and down and ran up and gave us hugs. And, you know, it was just such a celebration. What great hope, you know, that we had come. We had come to be a part of that celebration. Huh? You know, I just wonder if you've experienced that with the coming of the Lord into your life. What a phenomenal thing that is. When our sins are washed away, when we have the privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ has come through the Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives, and we have the privilege of celebrating that union with Him through all eternity. What an incredible privilege that is, celebrating the coming of the Lord. Look at our text. It says, in the wilderness, I want you to cry, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. You see, what is promised here is that the promise will change. And based on that promise, we prepare ourselves. Prepare the way of the Lord. We know that the promise is real. We know that God's promise is true. Therefore, we prepare to be a part of that promise. Our preparation is very important. We don't look toward a promise that is vain or false or hopeless. We look toward a promise that is so real, we prepare ourselves to be a part of that reality. And you know, we've talked about Vim. Dallas Willard's idea of how we are to prepare ourselves to be a part of an active, living relationship with the Lord. There are three parts to it. First of all, we have vision. We deal with developing a vision. And our vision is not that we will someday be with the Lord. No, our vision is that we will live today, every day, as though God were present, His kingdom was a reality in our life in the here and now. And folks, I believe there were probably some people in the time of Isaiah who lived that way as well. Even though war was raging around them, yet there was that sense that there was hope. God was present with them. And just like us who follow Jesus Christ today, when the world is raging around us with war and nuclear threats and all of that, in our hearts there is a sense of peace because we know the promise of God is sure. It provides us with hope. Therefore, we live as though the kingdom were reality right now with intention. Not just hoping, but actually living with intention, defined by very specific means. And one of those means I shared with you as a gift this morning in your bulletin. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I gave you another bookmark. And surprisingly, the text hasn't changed. It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. Now, for those of you who are visitors, The congregation has memorized this text, and at a moment's notice, they could stand and recite it. But I'm not going to ask them to do that today. We've been working on this, and we're getting closer. But the fact is, that text is so vital to us if we are to understand these means that Jesus wants us to implement in our lives. I believe that memorization of the Word of God is a vital discipline if we are to live the life that God has called us to. I don't know how many times I have woken in the morning, and as we were traveling, I found several mornings I woke up and I was singing the song that Carmen wrote that matches these words. You see, the Word of God in us is part of our discipline. It's part of our commitment. It's part of our vision so that we can be equipped, the people of God, to serve the world. We want to be ready to serve Him so that our hope is more than just something that we have a promise for. It's something we are actually preparing for. We're actually living it out as our life goes on. 4, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. There is hope because the truth that we share is spoken by God Himself. The words that Isaiah wrote were inspired by God's Spirit, and therefore are words that we accept as being spoken from the Lord. Look at this. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What power, man! For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Do you feel it? The Word of God is truth for us. It has been proven in our lives. Therefore, what the Word of God tells us is the Word that God has spoken and is a guide for our lives. When I was in Brazil, I was understanding what it means to be fulfilled in that faith that God has given us. I observed it in so many ways as a new missionary. I was just a kid starting out on an adventure, a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord. The glory of the Lord was revealed in so many ways. And again I saw how God's Word spoken was a power to those who needed to understand. But it was brought home to me very vividly one day when I came home to lunch, and there was my little daughter, then probably 3+ years old, and she was in the kitchen with her mom, and she was standing by her high chair. And as I walked in, she came up to me and she said, "Daddy, I have learned how to climb up in my chair." Now, I don't know exactly how she said that. That's my words. I'm sure she probably didn't put it together quite that well, but that was the idea. "Daddy, I can climb up in my high chair all by myself." You know, that's just the attitude she had, you know. So I looked right back at her, and just like a good dad, I said, "I don't believe you. You can't do that." A very compassionate heart, you know. I don't believe that. What I was trying to do was provoke her to climb up in her chair, you know. She looked at me and she said, "Daddy, I can." I said, "I don't believe you. I don't think you can do it." She got a cloudy look on her face and she goes over to her mom and she says, "Mom, can I climb up in my high chair?" And my wife, Elaine, said, "Yes, you can climb up in your high chair. I've seen you do it." She goes back over to me and she says, "You see, Daddy, I can do it." And she never climbed up. Because Mom said she could do it, that was enough. That was proof enough she could do it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I believe firmly in what God has said. That's the proof I need. I don't need programs. I don't need designs. I only need to recognize that God has spoken, and it is not a professional, programmed kind of thing that's going to prove that. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, His only Son, that makes it possible for me to stand before you and say, what God has promised, He will fulfill in your life and in my life. Because I've seen Him do it again and again. And the fact is, God has said it. And that's enough for me. How about you today? Do you realize that you can know the Lord in this kind of relationship now? Maybe you're doubting. Maybe you're struggling. Or maybe you've never come to that relationship. You see, the promise, the hope that we have, it's not a false hope. It's something that works. It's real. And I dare say there are many today who could stand and witness to this reality. God's promise, God's word, it has been spoken. And that's enough for me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day. And for hope that leads us into a deeper relationship with you, where we want to prepare ourselves through your promise, and where we have a relationship with you, where other things in the world may happen and may impact us. But you have spoken, Father, and therefore, through Jesus Christ, we know your love and we know the fulfillment of your promise. So thank you for that this morning, Father. We open our hearts afresh to you. Whatever you say to us, Father, we will do it by your grace. Amen.